Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee meeting. It is Monday, June 28th, and we're convening at 8:53 p.m. Our secretary is not here. I don't know if the member Leslie Radford just informed me that Verizon is down throughout the entire country. Leslie, did I get that right?
And that's what I'm hearing. I can't verify that, but that is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think Campbell is on Verizon now that you said it. So I'm going to ask if someone could kindly volunteer to take the minutes for me. I'm looking for a volunteer. Do I get a volunteer?
Okay. She says with great reluctance.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. Well, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to call Lisa. I know she's standing by. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That would make 7. We just need one more person to make quorum. Okay. I'll call the roll. It's not going to be in alphabetical order, so please forgive me. Wesley Bethune? Yes, Bill?
Okay, even if you don't have quorum, we can go ahead and start. We just can't vote on anything, you know.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to call the names of the people, establish that we don't have quorum, then say what happens when we don't.
Okay.
Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Okay. Judge Merrick?
Yes. Melinda Eiley Doan is here and present.
Okay. Bill Crozier?
Here.
Leslie Radford?
Here.
And I, Mia Betty Alco, am present. There's 3, 6 of us. Now, we need 8 in order to make quorum. We're short 2. So what we'll do, we'll start our meeting, and then we'll have to ratify whatever it is that we do later. If during the course of the meeting, if we get quorum, if people would be flexible enough for us to just establish what we've done and then ratify the things, I would greatly appreciate it so that we could get it done. For the listening audience, our first
Lisa,
just joined.
Okay,
Lisa. Okay, Lisa Davis, thank you. We just missed one more. Okay. Our first item is calling me to order, then roll call, approve agenda, number 4, discuss with auditor and Levarne, 990 discrepancy for 60 minutes, number 5, update on actions taken on management letter, 30 minutes, 6, determine next committee meeting date, 5 minutes, 7, review action item, 10 minutes, and 8, last but not least, and probably everyone's favorite, is adjourned by 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and 9:30 Central Time. Okay? So, and I forgot our auditor, Tony Pohl from Helen Donovan. I apologize, Tony.
Not at all.
Okay. And first, I'd just like to say, something light. That congratulations to Tony. His daughter just got married 2 weeks ago. So congratulations to you and your daughter, Tony. Okay. Leslie Radford has volunteered to take our minutes since our secretary, Campbell Johnson, isn't here. So thank you for
that. Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, why don't we go straight to Tony to discuss the 990
point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Did we take the attendance?
I have you, Lisa, yes.
Okay, great, because what I'm going to say, I'm kind of in a busy area, but I'll be situated in about 20 more minutes, so I'll call back in then.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay, I'll call back. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Sure, bye-bye.
Okay. So we all have our 990 email ready. And Tony, would you like to start, or do you want me to?
No, I think Ania, if you'd like to go through it, and you know, I can just confirm. You know, just go through the information and answer any questions that may arise.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, those of you who have on page one of the 990, I'm going to need some help here. Someone with good eyesight. Bill, could I ask you to please read the questions to me on the 990? Part one, page one, part one.
On the actual 990 form?
Yes, please.
Wait a minute.
I have a larger print, and as you guys know, I don't see that well. So.
This is part one summary. Well, like number of voting members, 22. Number
no.
of independent voting, that one?
No.
What you're talking about?
Where it says.
Nia, are you asking to review the questions on the form that is titled Pacific
yes.
Amount 990 Review, which is different than the 990 itself?
Wait a second. Hold on a second. The question, I think, is what is your mission? Just one second. If you scroll down to the email from Lynn Magno, all the way at the bottom, you open up that 990.
What email from Lynn Magno?
Yeah, open that one up.
I don't remember getting an email from her.
No.
Today?
Scroll all the way down to the one that I sent at 7:55. Go all the way down to the bottom of that one. Okay, I have it. Okay, part one, it says, briefly describe the organization's mission or most significant activities. And what was there was just non-commercial educational radio. And what I suggested that we do is to really, although it says briefly, I thought that that was a bit too brief and that we need to really say what the mission is. In my opinion, that was not the mission. If others disagree, and then you go back to, toggle back to what I think should be there, which would be the 8 o'clock one, and I wrote, between my TMJ and this, we are a family of non-commercial listener-supported educational radio stations dedicated to enriching the cultural lives of our radio communities, providing objective information regarding vital public matters, and facilitating understanding among members of groups in conflict. And I'm asking if everybody could find, because I am going to need some help. Because my jaw really
hurts.
Okay. So, Tony, I think you said that was okay, Tony?
Yeah. No, yes, Nia. This was something that had been in the tax return in the past, and I completely agree with your comment. I am actually in more than a full agreement. This is a place where Pacifica Foundation can showcase. This is its chance to, and a lot of organizations use this description of services as a means of PR, you know, to further grants. So a very significant narrative that can overrun several pages is quite in order.
Okay. Now, does anyone have any comments? I'm going to call on folks to please help me to read these. Now, if you go back to the questions and concerns, what I just read, Bill, do you have it? Is it
I found the version with Tony's responses in red. Is that
okay. All righty.
Okay.
Are we all on the same page? I want to make sure that everybody's following.
What's the title of the one with Tony's responses?
Tony's responses, that one is, one second.
They're all Pacifica Foundation 990 Review, and then
yeah.
What I'm looking at has a 3 after it because it was the third one I got, but you might not have the same number after it. But it was.
Okay.
Pacifica Foundation, Natty Review, .doc.
Hold on. That was Wesley, right? That was Wesley?
No, this is Bill.
Oh, that was... No, the person that asked the question.
No, this is Dutch.
Oh, okay. Alrighty, Dutch. I'll get you situated. The one that said seven... seven... 755. What is the one that says 755? What is his financial statements in 990 form? That's it, right, Bill? Are you there, Bill? Bill? Hello? Hello, everybody. Is everybody there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Did everyone find it? The 755 one, just open the attachment?
Yes.
It doesn't seem to I don't have words in red as responses from me on this one, as was just described by another caller.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go... Let's... I don't know what to say, Dutch. You want me to
read that? Is the document supposed to have red responses from Tony on it?
No, mine is coming, because I've sent it to myself also. It's coming out in black.
Well, the document, this is Dutch, KPFK.
Yes.
The document that I have open in front of me is titled Pacifica Foundation 990 Review. And it seems to be your original question, Tony. Based on each part one, part one, part five, for example.
Okay. And when you open...
Nia?
What time is... Yes?
Well, this is Bill. I'm back, and I think I have Chandra on. Are you on, Chandra?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Chandra.
Do I make quorum?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, we do. Okay, so Chandra makes quorum.
Okay, because... I can't stay on the call because I'm driving on a cell phone, not hands free.
Okay. Okay. And
I wanted to start off the call on the cell, and then you could make quorum, and then I'll call in when I get home.
Okay. So, could I just get a motion to just convene officially? Now that Chandra has made quorum, is that okay? Could I just get unanimous consent on that, and then Leslie could note it? Is that okay with everybody?
What's the motion again, Nia? Unanimous consent for what?
To just establish quorum now, and the meeting will be official. So whatever business we'll take care of now will be official. We haven't gotten that far anyway. So I'm just asking to just suspend the rules to do that. Please. Okay, hearing no objection. Leslie will duly note that for me. Okay. Okay. Bill.
And I have one thing to report, if that's okay.
Okay.
Unless
go ahead.
You want me to do that when I get home.
Okay. When you get home.
Okay.
When you get home and you're off that cell phone, okay? While you're driving. Okay. Great. All
okay.
Right. So let's proceed.
Bye-bye.
Bill. Okay, Bill.
Yes.
There's part one, number four.
Okay. The comment was, shouldn't this answer be 21, as the chair was paid as the interim executive director, and that prevents her from being counted as an independent board member? And then parenthesis, it says, the answer to page two, part two, number one, will also be changed. And then Tony's response was changed.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. She should be, because you did have a paid director, that the answer to that is correct. It should, so it's been corrected to reflect.
Okay. If anybody has questions, just stop us. But most of these are pretty self-explanatory. Okay? Go ahead.
Have a question. Where is this on the 990? Because I'm looking at the 990 and I don't see these.
It says number, it's number four. Part one, number four.
Part one, which is summary?
Right, and go down to number four. It says number of independent voting members of the governing body.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so you want to have that page handy also. Okay.
Right, it has 22 listed.
Correct.
Okay, I was looking at the wrong place.
Okay, no problem, Bill. Thank you for helping me. And I have to stop talking for a little bit now. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, let me go to the next one.
Yes.
The next item? Okay, the yes, Form 990, please. Page 5. Part 5, number 7A and 7B, which is, let me find that, what page did I just say, 5?
Yeah.
Well, let me just, rather than looking for it, I'll just read this. Okay, shouldn't these questions be answered yes, since we provide premiums in exchange for donations, many of which are greater than $25, and we notify donors as to how much of the donation is deductible.
And Tony responded...
It's changed.
Changed. Okay. So that's okay. That's okay. Tony?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Who completed this part of the 990?
That's a joint, it's in part, it's information that we get from the accounting. We send them a questionnaire, a multi-page questionnaire that we have them complete and send back to us.
Okay. All righty. So part 6. So
part 5, number 7A and 7B.
Right. Now we go to part 6.
Okay, it might be helpful for people listening for somebody to read what the question, what the item, what the line description is on the 990.
Okay, so I can do that.
Because it's hard for me to go back and forth. I'm looking at it on my computer. I don't have it printed out. And
okay, no
I'm
problem.
I have to look for the right page.
Not a problem, Bill. Okay, so the next.
But I'll read you the next. The next item is part 6, number 1B.
Okay.
On page 6.
Part 6, and that one is investments, lands, buildings, and equipment, see Form 990, Part 10, Line 10. And there,
the comment,
go ahead.
The comment was same as Part 1, Number 4, on page 1, which was the question having to do with shouldn't this answer be 21, because the chair was paid as the interim executive director.
Correct, and that's a question that's asked actually in two places. First in summary form on the front page, and then in detail elsewhere. So it was corrected in both places.
Okay. And then part 6, 7A. Oh, gosh.
Well, the next question was part 6, number 6.
Part 6, number 6. And I have to look for that now. Does anybody have part 6, number 6? On the actual 990?
Well, I'm not looking at the 990 now. I'm looking at the review page, the comments page. Still there?
I think we just lost a whole lot of people. Bill?
I'm here.
Yeah, this is Dutch. I'm here.
Nia, are you there? Okay, Nia's talking to herself at this point. Let me try calling her. These things happen.
Going off?
I think we lost Nia. Does everybody have the 990? Are they being able to refer to this while we're talking about it?
Yeah, Bill, would you, they keep, I'm on, apparently on the email list at the Yahoo or AT&T account, and they don't, nobody recognizes my Gmail account except the streamers. So if you would read it, go ahead.
Okay. Remind Nia afterwards to forward everything to you, because there were several emails sent this evening.
Nia's on her way back.
Thanks, Leslie. Thank you, Tony, for bearing with us.
That's quite all right.
Were you guys just discussing if anybody has the 990 in front of them? I think this would go faster if somebody had it up in front of them.
I'm just pulling it up on...
I've got the 990 in front of me. What's the question?
Well, what we've been doing is having to look up the wording in 990, and if Bill can read the question and Dutch or somebody can read what the 990 question is and then get Tony's answer, doesn't that make sense to smooth this out?
Right. Well, the next item is on. Yeah, is on. If somebody can look this up on the 990, because I'm not. I'm looking at the comments page right now, and it's hard for me to go back and forth to the 990 and find the right page. But the 990, page 6, part 6. I think we just did 1B, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, part 6, page 616. Luckily, I have a computer that allows me to open two screens on the screen at one time, so I can open the questions on the left and the 990 on the right. I'm surprised that's unique, but I'll be glad to answer what the 990 says originally. This is Dutch.
I've got a laptop, and it's kind of a small screen. I've got too many windows open. It's just hard for me to go back and forth. But the next one is part 6, number 6.
Part 6, number 6 reads on the 990, does the organization have members or stockholders? And it's currently marked no.
Okay, and then the comment that Nia sent was, the answer to this question should be yes, as we do have members.
Yes, and that has been corrected, because actually that was a really good one. Historically, it's been answered that way, but I went back into the organization's bylaws, and because typically in most situations the members are not considered as members within the meaning of this part of the law. However, inasmuch as Pacifica members have rights of say over the disposition of assets and the like, they definitely are members within the meaning of the law. So that question's been corrected.
Okay.
Well, that answer, I should say, that response has been corrected.
Okay, the number is, so the next one is on the same page, number 7A.
7A reads, does the organization have members, stockholders, or other persons who may elect one or more members of the governing body? And it's currently marked no.
Okay, and that has been corrected. Yeah. The comment was, the answer to these questions should be yes, as the PNB is elected by the delegates / local station boards who are elected by the membership.
So what's the response from Tony on that?
The response is that has been corrected.
So are we ready for the next question?
Next is 7B, same page.
Question reads, are any decisions of governing body subject to approval by members, stockholders, or other persons? The answer is currently no.
And that this is all the same sort of response, because the organization's members actually can make a decision about the disposition of assets. Those questions have been corrected to read yes.
Okay, and the comment says the bylaws provide that certain changes must be approved by the membership. The details of this process should be summarized on Schedule O.
This is Nia. I'm back. I'm so sorry. I had a hard time getting back in. I don't know what's going on, but I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay, what's going on? I hope that's okay.
Sure. I'm happy you guys so continue, Bill. Did I just try to catch up to where you are?
Okay, next one is item 10 on that page.
Item 10 reads, was a copy of the Form 990 provided to the organization's governing body before it was filed? All organizations must describe in Schedule O the process, if any, the organization uses to review the Form 990, see Schedule O. The box is marked yes.
Comment was, this answer to the question should be no, since a copy was not provided to the board before the return was filed.
Time for Tony's response.
Correct. That is the case.
Okay. It was marked changed.
So is the form being changed to reflect that?
Yes, it has been.
Okay. Next is number 12B and 12C on that page.
12B reads, are officers, directors, or trustees and key employees required to disclose annually interests that could give rise to conflicts? It's currently marked yes.
And the comment was, these answers should be no. What is described on Schedule O does not relate to officers, directors, or trustees and key employees.
I'll read part of the question C as well, because they're together on this. The next question, 12C, does the organization regularly and consistently monitor and enforce compliance with the policy? If yes, describe in Schedule O how this is done. And again, that's marked yes.
And those questions at this point have been changed to reflect that that's not being done. In fact, at the presentation, the COSO presentation that we're going to do in a couple of weeks' time, we'll focus on some of those issues.
Okay, next is number 14.
Number 14 reads, does the organization have a written document retention and destruction policy? It's currently marked yes.
And the comment was, the audit committee is not aware of a document retention policy. Does one exist? Question mark.
And we have seen one in the continuation of our audit, in the process of the audit. So we believe that one is adequate, that you do have a document retention policy.
Is that part of the financial policy document?
I'm not sure whether, I forget which one it is, but you have some written policies and procedures that, discuss retention of payroll records and the like.
Tony, do you have a copy of it? Bill and Dutch are doing such a great job. I love it. Do you have a copy of that, Tony?
I'm not sure if I do here. Well, I think I can get my hands on it once I'm back in the office.
Okay. Could you kindly send it to me, and I'll send it to the audit committee?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks so much. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Next is number 19.
Number 19 reads, describe in Schedule O whether and if so how the organization makes its governing documents, conflict of interest policy, and financial statements available to the public.
And the comment is, this question requires that the organization describe, quote, whether and if so how the organization makes its governing documents, conflict of interest policy, and financial statements available to the public, unquote, but that information is missing from the Schedule O. And then the comment from Tony, it says, added, available upon request. Anything else, Tony?
No, and this is a standard disclosure. You know, when records and so on, you don't disclose everything unless it's requested. And
okay.
At that point, you can... The requested information can be distributed to the party wishing them.
Okay. Next is number 20.
Give me a second to scroll back. I was trying to look at Schedule O to see if there was anything there. Bear with me. Page. Hunting here for a second.
Part 6 again.
Yeah. Part VI.
Yeah.
I don't speak Roman too good, if you will. And number 20, there we go. State the name, physical address, and telephone number of the person who possesses the books and records of the organization. It's listed as Pacifica Foundation, 1925 MLK Junior Way, Berkeley, California, 94704, phone 510-849-2590.
And the comment is, the question asks for the name of the person who possesses the books, therefore the CFO should be named here. And Tony replied, added.
We've changed that. In most instances, we actually just do name the organization rather than give an individual name. The extent possible, our policy to protect our clients is to not to give out information like personal names or addresses unless absolutely required. There are a lot of strange people out in the world these days.
Okay. Next is page 7, part 7. That's part of VII.
Now, the document, the 990, has a listing of officers and, titles and ranks, directors, etc. And there's a column for officer, and there's only one name checked, and that's board chair Grace Aaron.
Okay, and it says, and the comment is the officer column should be checked for the secretary, treasurer, and vice chair.
And that has been also changed.
Okay. Next is page 9, part Roman numeral 8, 1B.
Okay, scrolling down there, 1B.
While you're looking, this is Campbell Johnson. I just got on the call, and Verizon.
Okay, Campbell. I have you, Campbell.
Okay.
I have you. Okay.
Verizon's
okay,
messing with me.
Okay, thanks.
So we're at part VIII, section 1B, membership dues, and it is a blank section on the 990.
Right, and the question, the comment that Nia wrote is, a portion of the Support Pacifica receives as membership dues, why is this line blank? And Tony replied, no change, reported as donation.
Yeah, inasmuch as to become a member of the organization, you give a contribution. There's no actual, this is sort of geared, for example, one of our clients is a very large library that has a membership. Those membership pay dues in return, they're entitled to use the library, you know, check books out of the library and so on. If they cancel their membership, they get a prorated refund of their membership dues. Here, an individual, Pacifica is sort of unique in some ways because while they are members, and it's clearly stated in the bylaws, you know, when somebody gives a donation of $25 or more, they're members. It's not an exchange transaction. It's a contribution. And I think it would be misleading to indicate that these are membership dues because the whole what they're trying to do here is to identify the total amount of dues of an where there's something of value that's received in exchange for being a member. And clearly, there is something of value being a member to Pacifica, but it's not something that would be refundable.
Tony, this is Nia, Bill. I have a question, though. But our members have certain rights. So does that qualify them?
Well, the only rights they have, Nia, is the rights to appoint the local station boards and then vote if there were to be a distribution of more than 25% of the total assets of the organization. They don't really receive anything in exchange other than in exchange for that contribution. You know, they make a philanthropic gesture by making a contribution. In return, they get a say in the overall running of the organization. But they don't receive anything such as a magazine, such as the right to use certain facilities and so on. So I believe that question is correctly stated, correctly responded to.
Go ahead, Bill, and Dutch, you're doing a great job. Go ahead.
Okay, next is on the same page, number 1C.
Number 1C, again, this is the section Statement of Revenue, 1C, Fundraising Events is blank.
Okay, and the comment is a portion of the income received from fundraising events represents donations that should be reported here and online 8A. And then Tony said no change, the donation is reported in community event income. We can't break down this information because we are the lack of information from the station.
Bill, could you please speak up? You're a little low.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I want to hit that. Yeah, let me. Okay. Well, the comment was a portion of the income received from fundraising events represents donations. This should be reported here and on line 8A. And then Tony's reply was no change. The donation is reported in community event income, We can't break down this information because we are lack of information from the stations.
Ooh, okay. There isn't much we could do with that because Tony has told us on several occasions. Right, Tony, unless you have something else you want to add?
No, that says it all.
That's the truth. Okay. All right.
Okay, next on page 10, part 9, that's Roman numeral 1IX, number 24E.
24E reads utilities, and it's broken down into four columns. I don't know that you need the numbers, but they're total expenses, program service expenses, management and general expenses, and fundraising expenses.
Okay, well, the comment is, if the amount for utilities only represents electrical costs, it should be reported on line 16, occupancy. And Tony's reply was, no change. This is his same presentation on the financial statements.
I just need a little help with that explanation, Tony.
Well, really, it boils down to that information. You know, utilities is not a very major number, and again, it's the quality of reporting, consistent reporting from the stations to get making sure that we've got accurate information. I don't think the 990 is misleading. You know, if you are an organization that had a significant use of utilities, and we may want to consider breaking it out further, but I don't think the 990 itself is being misrepresented.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill and Josh.
Okay. So next is Schedule D, Part 5, Roman numeral V,
For those playing at home, that's page 23 of the 990. And the question reads, let's see here, 2A and AG. Under endowment funds, question 2, provide the estimated percentage of the year-end balance held as A, board-designated or quasi-endowment, B, permanent endowment, C, term endowment.
And the comment was missing entries to total 100%.
And there are the three of them are blank. I should clarify that.
Right. And that's been responded to that it now shows endowment of 100%.
Okay, next part 6, that's VI number 1B to C.
And again, part VI is investments, land, buildings, and equipment. Question 1B, buildings, then leasehold, C is leasehold, improvements, D is equipment, E is other, and they're broken down into four columns. A is cost or other basis, investment, B, cost or other basis, other, C, depreciation, and D, book value.
And the comment was, why was all of the accumulated depreciation reported on line 1C, creating a negative book value of $9,297,000? $117.
And that has been reflected. We've broken it out between the different components.
Okay.
That's now broken out between buildings, equipment, and other?
Correct.
Very good.
Next is Schedule G, Part 2.
Surfing down here, Part 1. Bear with me.
Special event income and expenses.
Yeah, it's page 29. I'm looking for that one.
Let me just read the comment because maybe that'll help. The special event income and expenses have been entered here as if only one special event was held during the year that generated $635,897. Is that true? If not, the schedule has not been properly completed.
It should be done, and we've talked to Levon and Lynn about getting this information in the future. We're not able to disaggregate it. It would be a tremendous, it's a very, very significant amount of work by Lynn to try to pull that information together.
Okay. And by the way, the comment I'm reading, it's going beyond the edge of the margin, so I can't see all the comment. I don't know if that's just on the program, I think to read this or not. I use OpenOffice, which converts the Word document.
It could be because the responses were in Excel. Nia provided to us in Excel,
and we probably use WordWrap. So it's text wrap.
If you have a stumble, Bill, I have it here open in front of me, this Dutch.
Okay. Well, I'll just change it to wrap. Okay. Okay, next is Schedule O, audit review processes, or process.
It says, and I believe I'm following the right thing, I'm on Schedule O, which is page 31, Form 990, Part VI, Line 10, Form 990 review process. The audit committee has the responsibility to review the foundation's 990 prior to it being filed with the IRS. End of sentence.
Okay. And the comment is, this statement is not correct. Responsibility for reviewing the 990...
Can you speak up, Bill? I can't hear you again.
I'm sorry. It says, this statement is not correct. Responsibility for reviewing the 990 was never given to the audit committee. And if California law states that it is the case, the return should have been provided to the audit committee before it was filed and posted to the website, and it was not. And then Tony replied, changed.
There is actually no requirement that the 990 be reviewed by the audit committee. The requirement is that it be reviewed by the board, but that's the extent of it. And there's nothing in California law either that requires that review.
Tony, this is Dutch. A question, if the law is such that the board has to review the 990 before it's filed,
the requirement is that the board be provided a copy of the 990 before the filing.
Not subject to the board's review and approval.
Correct.
Point of information, Madam Chair, this is Lisa. I just want to let you know that I've rejoined the call.
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Question? Tony?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Then somebody...
Go ahead, Campbell.
Yes. Somebody signing the 990, what does that mean?
That means when an officer of the organization signs the return and submits it to the IRS or directs us to submit it to the IRS.
Isn't that supposed to be reflective of some engagement by the board?
Usually, I think that's a board by board decision. In most instances, the organizations give over that responsibility to management. Not to say that they should not see a copy of the return before it's filed or have it available to them.
Yeah, I think that for me that's a little problematic, because I think that some officer signing it is not just representing him or herself. They're representing the authority of the board as expressed through this officer and them providing, some engagement there. And do we have any kind of explicit authorization that, puts that signing authority in the hands of someone without a board review or without a, finance or audit committee review?
I'm sorry, I'm not quite clear what the question is.
The question is this. The officer who is signing this document is signing in a representative capacity.
Correct.
And that representative capacity is connected to something other than themselves.
That capacity is connected to the authority that the board has given them to act on the board's behalf as an officer, as an officer of the corporation.
So if that authority was given in 1908, we've had 40 different people since then, it's presumed that this current person has the same authority to sign for the corporation and to have the corporation at risk, in a sense, in a position of possible liability without any engagement, actively engagement from the committees of the board or with an approval of the board itself. That's what I'm concerned about, is that somebody signing it is signing with presumed authority, and I think that while the responsibility still lays with the board, I can't see a board saying, well, gee, we didn't know that they filed that false report, on our behalf, and that there's no accountability there.
I'm not sure how to address that. I think the only response I can make is that, as a board of directors, when you hire the executive director and the chief financial officer and the different officers within the organization, you do your due diligence and you hire people that you believe can do the work and represent the foundation accordingly. Otherwise, the day-to-day running, which includes filing of the various forms and government forms, would fall on the directors themselves.
Okay. This is, I think, an important segue. We have gotten, since January, some reports from our CFO.
Campbell?
Haven't been approved.
Campbell, okay. That particular comment right now is, let's finish with the 990. That is not Tony's concern, what we haven't gotten. So let's,
okay.
I would like to rule that just out of order for now, okay?
Okay.
Let's proceed, Joe.
Okay, and Tony did reply that was changed, this question that we were talking about on Schedule O, the audit review process. So, okay, the next item is monitoring and conflict of interest. And the comment was, this response does not address, quote, officers, directors, or trustees, and key employees, unquote. In general, is misspelled.
So on the Schedule O of 990, it says, Form 990, Part VI, Line 12C, explanation of monitoring and enforcement of C. The conflict of interest policy is reviewed in a monthly conference with the station general manager, executive director, and human resources director.
And Tony replied, changed, took out the conflict of interest policy.
Okay. I have a question, Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Now, why was the conflict of interest policy removed? Just for my own edification and for the audit committee, too. Why did we remove that?
Well, on the basis of what you're saying, that conflict of interest policy is not in place, and therefore we understood it that you wanted that particular question response withdrawn.
That's something that we have to fix. Okay.
Sounds
all right.
Like a red flag to me.
Yeah.
Me.
Okay. Do I hear someone wanting to ask a question? Who is that? Leslie's voice? Hello? Okay, I guess that wasn't Leslie.
Campbell,
go ahead, Bill.
Leslie,
okay. Is that you?
I didn't ask a question.
Okay, thought I heard your voice. Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, and next is compensation review on the same page.
On the Form 990, Section Schedule 0, it says the executive director's salary is set and approved by the board.
And the comment was, the comment should be, quote, the salaries of the executive director and chief financial officer are set and approved by the board of directors, unquote. And Tony replied, changed.
Okay.
Ready for next? Okay, next is yes. Publicly public availability of governing documents.
And I'm still on Schedule O, and I don't know if that pertains here because it's a listing of state names from Alaska to Wisconsin.
Well, the comment was as noted, I guess so. It doesn't have another form listed for this, so I assume it's the same form. Maybe this context will help. The comment was, as noted above for page 6, part 6, number 19, there should be a comment here as to whether the organization makes its governing documents, conflict of interest policy, and financial statements available to the public, and if so, how that is done.
And I think we answered that in another part of the, we actually talked about this, one of the other questions. I don't have a list of questions in front of me. We answered available upon request.
Okay. So maybe that actually goes to the different form.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Bill and Dutch. I think, thank you. Thank you guys so much. And thanks, everybody.
Now, I don't know if we need a stack. Some people are asking questions as we go along. Tony, the status right now is that an amended return has been filed, or what is...
No, it has not yet been filed. It's we're still waiting some kind of nomenclature for that very first question, the description of, something that will describe more the Pacifica Foundation. And I've asked Levon for it. Haven't received anything yet.
Do you mean the mission in
the mission statement?
Okay. Well, I wrote a suggested one, so that should be. And have you followed up with her? When was the last time you followed up?
I've emailed a couple of times. Haven't had a response yet.
Okay. Is there anything I could do to help?
Well, no, I will. I will call her tomorrow.
Okay. Now that said. After you get that, we agree that we should file an amended 990, correct?
Yes, I believe you should.
Right, because it just appears to be more professional, and it looks like, we do know what we are doing.
Right.
Could I just finish my sentence, Lisa? What was it, Lisa?
Yeah, it was me.
Yes. In terms of... Part 6, number 20, Tony, I think I had come back in and I heard you say that that we normally don't list names because you don't want people's names out there. Paraphrasing, obviously.
To the extent possible, our policy overall, and we do this, we only list the name where absolutely necessary, such as names of employees earning more than certain amounts and names of directors. And the standard protocol for that question, who the books and records are available to, it's typically we would respond the name of the organization, rather than put an individual's name in there.
Right.
If you wish, we can just put the CFO.
Go ahead.
Either put in the title of the CFO, or put in the CFO.
Yeah, because it seems to me, as Arlene and LeVar being the two top executives, their names are out there anyway.
Okay. All right.
So
Okay.
And I'm echoing. Why, I don't know. Okay, Lisa?
No, I just want to know, because I understand that we will be filing an amended 990, correct?
Correct.
When does that have to be filed?
It's an amended 990 can be, the filing, because the filing's done, it can be filed at any point in time.
Oh, okay.
There's no timetable.
Okay, thank you.
But clearly it should be done as soon as possible because, to the extent that we feel we've got an inaccurate 990, it should be resolved and filed.
Right.
Okay, Lisa? I just thought of a motion. Does anybody else have a question? I obviously can't make a motion, but see how it sounds to you guys, and somebody, if you like it.
It's a committee. You can make a motion.
Okay. That the current 990
as that is on the Pacifica website, we began instruct them. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that should come down, Tony, until the corrected one is put up.
If I may, Madam Chair,
yes.
I would, my recommendation would be to file the amended 990 as soon as possible, and because it's done, it's you know, it can be affected within a matter of minutes tomorrow morning. If my recommendation would be that if there is a motion to be made, is that the motion read that an amended tax return be prepared and filed as soon as possible.
And
that way it can be put onto the website in a moment's notice simultaneously, because it can be filed electronically. So it can be available on the website a few moments after thereafter.
Oh, okay. So I think that I would like for that to be added to it also. So whoever would like to word that, to say for the amended return to be filed immediately, and that it be immediately
Available onto the website.
Right, it immediately replaces what is currently on the Pacifica website, and of course, you know, it gets filed through whatever. So let's see. I know that just sounded so inarticulate, but
I'm working on it.
You want to work on it and then just read it back, please?
An amended tax return should be completed and filed immediately, and immediately replace the existing 990 on the Foundation website.
Amended 990.
We urge.
An amended 990. We urge, okay.
We urge the, who should we be urging, the CFO and the Executive Director?
I would say yes.
Can I ask regarding that?
Go ahead, Chandra.
Okay, the question is, it's usually Pacifica Foundation's 990 is usually on GuideStar. Is it already posted on GuideStar, and is there any other place on the web that it's posted that it has to be replaced?
GuideStar periodically pulls its information from the IRS website. So as soon as the filing is done, that information on GuideStar will be updated.
I see. Okay. And there's no other place we have to worry about?
No.
Okay. No. Thank you.
Okay. That was a good point.
What I have now is, if I may, we urge the CFO and the Executive Director to complete and file an amended tax return immediately, and immediately replace the existing 2009 990 on the Foundation website.
Right. But we have to recommend this to the PNB and for the PNB to urge them to do it. I guess I could just take it as is on Friday, correct?
If it passes. Sounds good to me.
I have a question, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
A question for Tony. Is there any reason not to file it, or if we file
no,
it
not at
now,
all.
Provide any explanation?
No, there's no need for an explanation. There's just a little box that's checked saying it's an amended return. It's not uncommon for an organization to file with preliminary information or better information comes to the light, and the organization wants to accurately reflect what's transpired. And particularly in light of elaborating on the mission statement, it's not seen as a negative.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Not.
I just want to make sure, because there were some comments some people had made about, maybe we should at least put an explanation in there or something. But okay,
no.
Thank you. That is correct.
Madam Chair, I'd like to...
Go ahead,
I'd like to amend this just a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like it to read, we urge the CFO and the Executive Director to complete and file an amended 2009-990 immediately per the recommendations of the Foundation Auditor and immediately replace the existing 2009-990 on the Foundation website. So my addition is... per the recommendations of the foundation auditor.
Well, I think probably it should be per the recommendation of the audit committee.
Of the audit committee, yeah.